Hello and welcome to Better by the Minute Live with Becca. My name is Becca Dukes and I am so excited to be here with you on another evening where we are bringing the brighter side of life and what we can do as empowered individuals to take control of our own health, our own life, mentally, physically, and financially. And I am excited to have back with me Dr. Joanne Conway. And one thing that I did not do last week is share with you that Dr. Joanne Conway is an internationally acclaimed speaker and author. She presents her unique perspective on what it takes to be healthy in a world filled with the conventional medicine and big pharma approach to wellness. She shares an all-natural approach to health and wellness, not the sickness care approach so prevalent in today's healthcare industry. Prevention and early detection are not the same, folks. Dr. Conway's approach is truly prevention, sharing her experience working with hundreds and helping them to understand what it takes to be healthy in our very unhealthy world. With her unrelenting research to find what is the latest real world information that supports her philosophy and approach to the body, mind, spirit, she will share with us stuff that she has learned in regards to mental health today and how we can make choices that affect our mental health. Now, Dr. Conway, her unique perspective of medicine and healthcare started her career as a nurse, earning her Bachelor of Science degree in nursing in 1976. Her experiences in ER and trauma nursing, operating room and critical care, infection control, cardiac care, nursing education and management. She spent several years doing specialized nutrition support nursing. And during those years, she cared for people who could no longer eat by mouth, receiving their nutrition intravenously or by a feeding tube. This experience sparked her passion for helping people understand the importance of a healthy diet and a healthy digestive system. Dr. Conway is a retired lieutenant colonel, having spent 20 years in the Air Force and Air Force Reserves, many of those years as an aeromedical evacuation nurse, unable to feel comfortable caring for patients following the mainstream medical model. After learning so much about the all-natural approach, Dr. Conway retired from nursing early, went back to school, and is now a naturopathic medicine. She is also the author of Why is America So Sick? Linking Digestive Health to Immunity and Hormonal Issues. Her most popular lectures include a two-part series of the same name and You Are What You Digest, Understanding the Gut-Brain Connection. All are available on her website at www.drjconway.com. Now, Dr. Conway, you have done so much in your lifetime and in your experience in the medical field, both trained by the general medical establishment and then also with your own research and going back to school and being trained as a naturopathic doctor. With your expertise in digestion, I mean, that just gives you so much credibility. And the reason why I have asked you to join us with mental health and how what we put in our mouth is affecting our mental health, and especially when it comes to stress. You know, last week we talked about stress, so let's go ahead and continue.
I'm happy to, and thank you so much for having me back, Becca. I so enjoy being with you. And yes, we were talking about stress last week. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about when we talk about stress is the basic understanding that there are typically three types of stress. There's the acute present stressors that are causing a stressful situation, acute past stressors, things that have happened in the past that for whatever reason, we just cannot let go of, and chronic stressors, things that are happening continuously. And, you know, our chronic stressors are things like chronic pain, for example. We know that chronic pain causes chronic stress, and people have real problems dealing with that stress. Now, many people are just anxious. They have anxiety. And those anxiety situations can come as a result of meeting new people or having to meet new people. Some people get very stressed or anxious, for example, if they're going into a new job and having to meet new people. Or kiddos especially can be stressed if mom and dad have relocated and they have to start school and it's a new school and they have to meet new people. Again, you know, when we talk about other things that can cause anxiety, certainly trauma and chronic pain can cause anxiety. Past memories, you know, so oftentimes what will happen is people will have situations occur that are really stressful at the time. And then they get wrapped up in their very busy lives and they're going through those very busy lives, but something will happen to trigger that memory and they start to develop the anxiety all over again. Now, I know last week we talked a little bit about sugar and about sugar's impact on whether or not we can actually deal with stress and deal with anxiety. One of the things that we know and need to understand more clearly is the impact on our bodies when we consume sugar. Sugar is one of those things that a lot of people don't realize we consume so much of. You know, when we look at some of the statistics around sugar, it's pretty amazing, and recognizing that the average person in 2009, about 50% of the average American consumed approximately a half a pound of sugar every day. Now people say, oh, that's crazy. I couldn't eat that much sugar. But what we don't realize is just how much sugar is hidden in the foods that we eat. So sugars are exceedingly unhealthy for various different reasons, and stress is a big part of it. So when we talk about sugar and we talk about sugar and stress, we know that much of what's happening is the sugar and mineral depletion that occurs. And why is there a link between sugar and mineral depletion? Well, mineral depletion is actually the effect of eating refined foods. Some people say there's no way I eat a half a pound of sugar every day, but if you're eating refined foods, there very well could be a chance that you're eating a half a pound of sugar every day. So when we're talking about those refined foods, we're talking about the consequences of eating sucrose or table sugar, the white stuff, if you will. And we know that the white stuff is especially damaging because although it's one molecule of glucose, which is that sugar that the cells need for energy, it is bound to or attached to a molecule of fructose. Fructose is not healthy. Fructose is not good. Let me clarify that. When we talk about fructose, fructose is fruit sugar, okay? So when we talk about fruit sugar, it's different from processed sugar, as in the case of high fructose corn syrup, for example. When we talk about the fructose in fruit, the important distinction there is that that fructose in a whole food, in that fruit, comes mixed with vitamins and minerals and enzymes and fiber and beneficial nutrients. Those things are all important because they help us to appropriately break down the fruit, break down the sugar that's in the fruit. The fiber in the fruit actually slows the absorption of the fructose. That is a much different thing than what's happening when we consume high fructose corn syrup. So liquid or crystalline fructose, that's going to raise insulin levels. It's going to cause fat accumulation. It's going to increase cancer risk. It's going to increase overall stress. So let's take a little bit deeper dive and talk about why that is true. We know that mineral depletion is happening because we're consuming so much of this sucrose or high fructose corn syrup. The sucrose is what we find in table sugar again, that white stuff. The high fructose corn syrup is that crystalline fructose that we find in soft drinks and so many prepackaged and processed foods. But what's happening is, first of all, those things do not have adequate minerals. Mineral depletion is in part the aftermath of the refining process. When we look at sugarcane, sugarcane's the whole food. When we refine that sugarcane, when we bleach it and refine it, we remove all the nutrients and minerals. So now that refined sugar is not going to contain any fiber. It's not going to contain minerals, no proteins, no fats, no enzymes. So what you've got is empty calories. But now, in order for the biochemical reaction and biochemical breakdown of sugar to occur, your body has to borrow vital nutrients, the specific nutrients necessary to help to ensure that there's the breakdown of sugar are things like calcium and sodium and potassium, magnesium, thiamine, chromium, zinc. So the body has to steal all of these things from the healthy cells in order to metabolize and process the sugar. Now, all sugars, natural or refined, require things like B vitamins and minerals for digestion to occur. So if you're not getting those minerals and those B vitamins in the fruit, because it's the whole fruit, if you're not getting those natural vitamins and minerals because you're eating a refined carbohydrate or a refined sugar, your body is going to draw on its own reserves in order to complete the biochemical breakdown. So when we look at things like stress and we look at things like brain health, for example, vitamin B12, essential for building the protective myelin layers of the nerves. Also very important for neurotransmitter signaling, for energy production. These things impact stress, mood, cognitive function, anxiety, depression, inattention disorders, and that's just B12. B6 also comes into play. B6 is responsible for adequate oxygen delivery, the production of serotonin, our feel-good hormone, norepinephrine. B6 is also responsible for the conversion of glutamate. Glutamate, that alert excitatory neurotransmitter, it has to be converted to GABA, which is the calming inhibitory transmitter, neurotransmitter. So if all you have is glutamate and you don't have adequate amounts of B6 to help with the conversion, then you're going to be constantly hyped up, constantly in that excitatory phase. Magnesium can also activate GABA receptors. So it's real important when we talk about breaking down sugar. And a deficiency of the magnesium is going to cause neurological problems. It will cause anxiety and depression, increased stress, fatigue, panic attacks, headaches, all of these things. And then we know zinc. Zinc, also very important. Zinc's a mineral cofactor. It's an antioxidant. It's essential to cognitive function. And if we don't have adequate amounts of zinc, we will have anxiety, depression, concentration issues. Again, zinc is also needed for the function of the GABA receptors. So there are so many things that are impacted if we're consuming sugar that is not in a whole food. Once again, if we consume sugar, bring sugar that's refined sugar into the body goes to work to process that sugar. But in order to be able to do that, it must pull from our stores. It must borrow those vital nutrients from the stores within the body. And so we become minerally depleted, but by so doing, we strongly impact stress. We strongly impact the negative things that occur when a person becomes stressed. So I talk about it in terms of discussions that we will sometimes have with respect to mass shootings or mass killings. They are always quick to tell us that the common denominator in those situations are the psychotropic drugs. Most of those people were in fact on mood altering drugs. And sadly enough, that contributed to what they did. I always look at it from the standpoint of, let's take it one step back. And why were they on that psychotropic drug? What was their diet like? How bad was it to allow them to get to the point where they were so anxious or so depressed or so stressed, they had to go to a doctor and get a prescription for a medication. So from my perspective, it's not that the least common denominator was the medication. What it is, in my opinion, is the common denominator was probably the diet to start with that drove to the depression and anxiety that ultimately led to the visit to the doctor and the prescription for our medication. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. And I'm just rolling through my mind different situations of different clients and some of the things that they've done just before having anxiety attacks and having, you know, bouts of pain onset with no physical impact that would be causing that physical pain. So it totally makes sense to me, Dr. Conway. I love how you explain it. It's helping me gain more knowledge, especially with, you know, the deficiency of magnesium and its impact.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, magnesium, a lot of people don't realize that so many people are magnesium deficient. And there's more and more research coming out all the time about the segment of the population that's magnesium deficient and how the percentage keeps going up and up and up. Why is it going up and up and up? In my opinion, a big part of the reason why is the fact that people are consuming too much sugar, and that sugar, in order to be broken down and metabolized once again, you are going to be pulling your special magnesium out of your system to be able to biochemically convert and process that sugar. So, excuse me, from my standpoint, it only stands to reason that so many of these things that we are seeing and experiencing are happening as a result of the nutritional deficiencies that are being caused by the consumption of sugar.
You're right. It's in everything.
Absolutely. And that's the sad reality. Yeah, people don't realize that sugar is in everything. People do not realize just how much sugar is in food. And when they see carbohydrate, they think, oh, it's a carbohydrate. It's probably good for me. Well, you know, on the one hand, carbohydrates can be healthy and can be good for you. But what's the source of that carbohydrate? We know that carbohydrates are long chains of sugar. And one of the fascinating things about carbohydrates is because they are long chains of sugar. It sometimes takes longer for them to be broken down. But if we are talking about things like high fructose corn syrup, for example, in soft drinks or table sugar, you know, people put a couple spoonfuls of sugar in their coffee, or they put a couple of spoonfuls of sugar on their cereal, or they don't hesitate a minute to use that white stuff. That's a totally different thing coming into the body and being broken down. And you are going to be pulling your magnesium and your B vitamins and other things in order to make that happen.
Share with us real quick, because I know a lot of people that have completely gotten off of the white stuff. They're not buying the actual refined sugar, and they've completely switched over to using an unrefined or natural cane sugar. And share with us a little bit of things that we need to think about when we're making that switch over, as to, you know, yes, it is still sugar, but it does, like you said, include all of the things that naturally occur with that. But do we still need to limit it?
Oh, without a doubt, because we know that excessive sugar consumption, no matter what the source, is going to lead to all kinds of issues. We know, for example, that it's going to lead to obesity. It can ultimately lead to obesity. It can lead to teeth and gum disease. It can lead to chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation in the body is important to understand, because when we talk about chronic inflammation, it's happening as a result of damage inside the body. You know, inflammation, some people, it's fascinating when we talk about inflammation, because some people say, but inflammation is not always bad. And that's true. Inflammation is not always bad. Inflammation that is acute inflammation, for example, is not bad. It's the body's mechanism for ensuring that an injury is corrected. I use the example of bumping your shin. If you bump your shin, you're going to have that typical response. The body's going to experience that swelling or inflammation, perhaps warmth in the area, increased blood flow to the area, increased white blood cells come into the area. That is a distinct acute inflammatory response. And that's what the body should experience. When we talk about chronic inflammation, we're talking about injuries throughout the body at the cellular level, at the microscopic level. And a good example is vessels in the heart, for example. When we talk about a heart attack, everybody wants to blame a heart attack on cholesterol. Well, that's not what causes heart attacks. Now, let me clarify. The buildup of cholesterol can cause a heart attack. But what caused the buildup of cholesterol to start with? It didn't just develop. It didn't just deposit. You know, they'd like to have us believe that if we eat bacon and eggs, we're going to deposit fat throughout our vessels. That's not the way the body works. When we eat bacon and eggs, they get broken down. They get broken down in the gut and broken down into the molecular structures necessary to go do the job at the cellular level if our gut is working properly, okay? But what happens in the vessel in the heart, for example, is because of free radical damage, either too much sugar or too much of the processed foods or those things that we know that are unhealthy, that starts to damage the inside lining of the vessel. So now we're talking about a much smaller area than the shin, for example. We're talking about the inside of our vessel, but it is an injury, a nick or a tear, but it's an injury that stimulates that inflammatory response just like any other injury in the body, okay? Only at the microscopic level. So what happens is you're gonna have inflammation, you're gonna have an influx of white blood cells, you're going to have the body attempting to prevent a blowout of that vessel. And the way that happens is the body lays down a band-aid of cholesterol. And so if you continue to consume those things that yield free radicals, dyes in your food, genetically engineered and genetically modified food, gluten, all of those things, if you continue to eat those things, you're going to continue to cause damage. The body will continue to lay down that cholesterol, and you'll ultimately have a situation where you develop either a clot in the area or you develop complete occlusion of the vessel. It has nothing to do with the fact that you've eaten too much cholesterol. It has everything in the world to do with the fact that you have consumed too much in terms of free radicals. You've caused too much damage or injury, and the body is trying to repair that damage or injury. So chronic inflammation is happening everywhere in the body, not just the inside lining of the vessels of the heart, but throughout the body, everywhere at the cellular level, because of our deplorable diets.
Definitely deplorable diets. And I think that's a perfect spot because it is time to take a break here on Better by the Minute Live. And you are listening with Becca Dukes and Dr. Joanne Conway. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Better by the Minute Life with Becca. Again, I am here with Dr. Joanne Conaway, and we are talking about sugar and how it impacts the body and the brain. And one thing we were just talking about is carbohydrates, and there are good carbohydrates, but there's also some carbohydrates that we want to avoid other than just sugar. So Dr. Conaway, will you please share with us some of those things that we need to look out for as far as carbohydrates go that can have a negative impact, and how we know or how they affect even our blood sugar?
Absolutely. You know, when we talk about carbohydrates, one of the important things I think people need to understand is for a long time, we talked about glycemic index, and everybody understood that glycemic index was something that indicated to us how quickly blood sugar would be elevated if we consumed certain foods with sugars, for example. And now we're looking even more closely at how sugar impacts the body, and that glycemic index is not the same for every carbohydrate. You know, we used to think a carbohydrate is a carbohydrate is a carbohydrate, but it's really not. And now we're talking about the glycemic quotient, which is kind of the combination of the glycemic index and the glycemic load. Glycemic load is an indicator of, again, what sugar will do or how high the sugar will be. So for example, when we're looking at some foods that are high in sugar, like, for example, many of our root vegetables have a high glycemic index. And a good example of that is carrots. Carrots have a glycemic index of 47, which sounds high, which would say to someone, oh, I can't eat carrots, I'm a diabetic because the glycemic index is so high. But the important thing to remember is if you're going to eat one large carrot, the net carbs in one large carrot is going to be 5, which means that the glycemic load, what will actually happen in the body as a result of consuming that carrot, is only 2. So again, glycemic index pretty high, 47, but the glycemic load is only 2. So what that says is carrots, for example, are something that a diabetic could in fact eat. It has a high glycemic index, but it has a lot of fiber as the carbohydrate food, this carrot. As this carrot enters the body, because of all the fiber, it's slowed down pretty dramatically as it travels through the gastrointestinal system. And that allows the body to process it at a much more regular rate. And so the glycemic load of that carrot is 2. But let's compare that to something like a baked potato, for example. A baked potato has a glycemic index of 85. So if you're going to eat a medium-sized baked potato, you're eating something with a glycemic index of 85, but it also has a high glycemic load of 28. So that would mean that that potato probably isn't something that you would want to feed to a diabetic or that you would want to eat if you're a diabetic. Another example is a Snickers bar. A one bar Snickers, 55 is the glycemic index, but 35 is the glycemic load. So definitely a diabetic isn't going to want to eat a Snickers bar. Now, one of the sad things is when we start talking about diabetics eating sugar, especially if they're diabetics that are on insulin pumps, they'll say, oh, no problem. I can eat this piece of cake. I'll just dial up my insulin pump so that my body will actually process that sugar. And what they don't understand is a lot is physically happening in the body beyond that insulin. Those things we were talking about in the first segment of the show, when we were talking about the minerals necessary to break down those sugars, all of those things are going to be occurring in the body, even if you have an insulin pump and you can turn up your insulin. People get themselves into serious issues and problems thinking that, oh, I have an insulin pump, so I can have a couple of alcoholic beverages, or I have an insulin pump, so I can eat this piece of chocolate cake, or I can eat these chocolate chip cookies. Uh-uh, not so good, okay? And that's, again, because it's not only a sugar insulin issue. It's a sugar issue and an insulin issue. And well beyond that, what is that sugar doing in the body? And is it pulling from your sources to be able to process itself? Does that make sense to answer your question?
It does. that can also pertain to people, not so much with the diagnosis of diabetes, but metabolic syndrome.
Absolutely. And again, it has everything in the world to do with not only the glycemic index, but the actual glycemic load of the food. And so if people are consuming a lot of these high glycemic index foods, thinking, well, the glycemic load isn't so high, so I'm probably okay, they can get themselves into some serious trouble.
So you definitely need to take into consideration the glycemic index and the glycemic load, no matter what your eating styles are, no matter what your diagnoses or health conditions are. It's something that I think that we need to be intentional about, no matter who we are, as to what's going in our mouth. I mean, you have a whole book written on that. I encourage everybody to go to your website and watch that two-part series. You are what you digest, understanding the gut-brain connection. So please, everybody, I encourage you to go and check out DRJ Conaway, that's CONAWAY.com, and look for that two-part series lecture on You Are What You Eat, Understanding the Gut-Brain Connection.
It is important, Becca, to pay attention to what you're eating. There's no question about it. When we talk about the gut-brain connection, that also comes into play when we start talking about stress in a pretty major way. When we talk about the gut-stress connection, and you can go out there and you can do research on the gut-brain connection, the gut-stress connection, gut-kidney connection, gut-liver connection, it's because your gut and the health of your gut and the health of the gut microbiota dictates the health of every other aspect of your health, every other system in the body. But when we talk about the gut stress connection, the thing that we need to understand is gut bacteria changes when you consume sugar. The bad bacteria flourishes, but the good bacteria die off. Now, we have bad bacteria in our guts. We have good bacteria in our guts. We have parasites. We have yeast. We have lots of different things in our gut, okay? But the problem is, if you have an overgrowth of the bad bacteria, you have an unhealthy gut, and you have an imbalanced situation that will lead to problems throughout the rest of the body. So when you have an overgrowth of the bad bacteria and not enough of the good bacteria, your gut gets leakier. And what does that mean? If you're eating those processed foods and those sugars and those things that are unhealthy, you are actually going to break down the lining of the gut. And now, instead of your gut having these tight junctions where only very small molecules of food can cross over and get picked up into the bloodstream, you have a leakier gut, meaning that those tight junctions are usually inflamed, weakened, and larger holes are created as a result. So now molecules that shouldn't be leaving the gut are actually flowing out of the gut and into the circulation. That's exactly what leaky gut means. You've had a breakdown of the lining of the gastrointestinal system, and now larger than normal food molecules are leaving the gut. Perhaps yeast is leaving the gut. All of these things are going into the circulation, and they're going to impact your immune system. They're going to increase inflammation throughout the body. They're going to do a lot of things, but they are, in fact, going to impact that gut stress connection. You can have mood changes. The gut produces more of the mood lifting chemical serotonin than your brain. This is something that we learned not too many years ago, actually. You know, it used to be thought that serotonin, that feel-good hormone, was produced in the brain. And now research has shown us that 90% of the serotonin is produced in the gut. So when we talk about stress, we know that stress cuts the production of serotonin, and a person can develop an uneasy feeling, depression. Sometimes it's pretty insidious to start with, and then can become pretty severe as time goes on. When we have these imbalances as a result of an unhealthy gut or a leaky gut or a gut that doesn't create those chemicals like the serotonin, then the fight, flight, or freeze switch stays on. This is where we develop chronic stress. It's like when we talk about fight or flight, we've always understood that fight or flight is that mechanism whereby you make the decision or the determination, do I stay here and fight the tiger or do I run like heck? In most situations, it's an either or situation, fight or flight. Now we've added to that freeze. Do I fight that tiger? Do I flee from that tiger? Or do I just freeze in place and not move? So it's a switch that gets turned on. And with chronic stress, that switch is always turned on. Your emergency button, if you will, is on all the time. So when this happens, digestion itself is altered and sometimes can cause things like bloating and cramps, diarrhea, and constipation. So all of those things are happening as a result of the impact of an unhealthy gut and how that links to stress. Stress can lead to a lot of different things, and many people have stressful situations. We know chronic stress can decrease the ability to regulate pain. So if you're someone who has chronic pain issues and you're stressed, kind of becomes a double-edged sword, if you will. The stress actually potentiates the pain makes the stress more. And this is why people who are in chronic pain are oftentimes difficult to be around. They're not happy people because they're hurting and that hurt is causing stress. We know that stress can increase muscle tension. It can make an injury, even an acute injury, even more painful if you're stressed. You know, it's fascinating when we talk about muscle tension. People who will sustain an acute injury may have exacerbated pain because they have muscle tension in the area. That muscle tension has to do with more than just the painful situation. And then we know that stress can also increase immune function and actually prolong recovery sometimes. If you're stressed, if your muscles are tense, if you have this going on, even in a situation of acute stress, sometimes it's very difficult to get over the pain. All of these things can contribute to a bad day, if you will. We talk about that and we talk about the things that we can do to actually mitigate the stress and mitigate the things that are associated with those stressful situations.
Well, I feel like you were like reading my life story in regards to stress. And I would tell myself that I thrive on stress. I did my best work, whether it I was an administrative assistant or when I moved into the statistical analysis and processing for automotive and then medical and had those reports that I had to collect all the data for and crunch the data and put it into the report for the engineers to present. I kept telling myself I did my best work under stress. And I held all of that tension in my neck. And I did not have a good diet because I was always working. I didn't have time to really fix myself something. I had people always being nice and bringing me something at my desk because they knew I was under a deadline. And so it was basically eating what they brought, which was not healthy. So I can totally relate when people are under stress, their bodies hurt all over. They have that chronic pain that just doesn't seem to go away no matter what. When I actually had an injury, besides the degeneration that was going on in my body because of the poor nutrition, I had fallen and broken my back.
Ah.
I was 30 and compression fractures in my spine from a simple fall. Of course, it was off of a ladder, but it just really increased that stress because I was depended on by so many people and then I absolutely couldn't work. I think that that really prolonged the pain.
Oh, without a doubt, I'm sure that it did. And, you know, and I know where you're coming from. I know that I am one of those people. I do better under stress. And I'll be honest and tell you, and I want people to understand that stress periodically is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And I think those of us like, you know, like yourself, I could say, oh, I do my best work under stress. But again, yeah, I might do my best work under stress, but once I've completed the work, then I realize how much my neck and shoulders are hurting and how stressed I got trying to complete that work. So as long as that's a periodic thing in a situation like what you were in, that wasn't a periodic thing. That was a chronic thing. That was something going on in your life all the time because of your job, your responsibilities, and what you were doing. And so repeated, recurrent, chronic stress like that on a daily basis can lead to things like you just described.
I know that the nutrition part really played into it, and that's what I hope that our listeners are really paying attention to as they're listening and can relate to, okay, yeah, I've got lots of stress and I'm in pain all the time. Your diet and what you put in your mouth every day is going to either help or hinder your body's ability to handle that stress, whether it's physically or mentally. And that's one thing that I love about your approach, Dr. Conway, because you go so in depth into the digestive system and the things that go into our mouth and how they affect the different parts of the body.
You know, when you talk about dealing with stress, one of the first things that I help people to understand is, first of all, they need to identify that they're stressed. And most people will say, well, you know, I didn't realize how stressed I was. I really am stressed. And most of us are really stressed for whatever reason, you know, and especially over the course of the last couple of years, there's been increased stress on the part of many people. But when we talk about, let's learn to deal with that stress, we talk about becoming self-compassionate, meaning you have got to take the time to take care of you. And this is very hard. It's especially hard for women. Women have a really difficult time being self-compassionate, a really difficult time taking care of themselves because they have so many other things that are going on in their lives. They're taking care of kids or grandkids or parents or brothers or sisters, struggling to try to keep several balls in the air all at the same time, if you will. A big part of being self-compassionate is learning to nourish your body, that exact thing that you were just talking about, recognizing the importance of making sure that you are adequately nourished. And of course, that means doing the right things, eating the right things, staying away from the offending foods, staying away from that sugar, and feeding yourself the good, healthy foods. Certainly, nourishing your body is important from the food perspective. I personally believe that you cannot get everything that you need from the foods that you eat. And that's why I'm such a proponent of supplementation. There are many people who say, oh, supplementation is not necessary. Supplementation can be dangerous. Supplementation, this and that. What I will say is when you're taking products like the ones that we recommend, you're not going to get yourself into trouble and you are going to benefit your body. It's not like going into a health food store and pulling this and that off the shelf and trying to combine them and make them work together. That is not a healthy approach, but an approach where you've got everything that you need complementing each other. Other things that we need to think about with respect to being self-compassionate. Get enough sleep every night. This is so critically important. You know, I've heard for many, many years, I'll sleep when this project is done, or I'll sleep when I finish my degree, or I'll sleep when I make the next rank in the company I'm with. That is not a healthy approach. If you don't get enough sleep at night, a lot of things are going to happen. Certainly, you're going to increase stress. You're going to decrease immune system function. A lot of things are going to happen, and they're not good things. Your body needs sleep. And I'm talking about sleep, not just I'm going to lay down and take a nap. I'm talking about getting into bed and getting a good night's sleep. And why does your body need sleep? Well, your body does all its repair while you're sleeping. It repairs itself and it actually stimulates and boosts the function of the immune system. And there's a lot of things that go on when you're sleeping. Another thing that I have found that really helps me is keeping a gratitude journal. You know, a lot of people go through life and they struggle with everyday life. They struggle with the things that they need to do, the things that they need to accomplish, and they don't stop to think about what they have to be thankful for. You know, when I talk about what do you have to be thankful for, you know, sometimes I deal with grumpy people and they're complaining all the time. And I get so frustrated because no one's world can be total negativity. Yeah. There can be situations that may make you feel like your world is total negativity, but be grateful for the fact that the sun came up this morning. Be grateful for the fact that you have running water in your home. Be grateful for the fact that someone's paid the electric bill and you have heat. Be grateful for the fact that you have food on the table. Even those simple things, if you'll stop and think about things like that and be thankful and be grateful for those simple things, you'll find that there are a lot of other things that you can be thankful for and be grateful for. Another thing that I think is critically important is meditation, learning to meditate. Now, meditation doesn't have to be a real sophisticated thing. A lot of people, they just sit down, close their eyes, and pray. And that's their way to meditate. And there's not anything in the world wrong with that. Some people are sophisticated meditators, and they use certain programs and protocols, and that's great. But for me, the important thing to remember and understand is taking that time to just be still and be quiet and take some slow, deep breaths and recognize that there are good things happening. And if you stop and meditate periodically, if you literally slow down and meditate, a lot of people say, oh, I don't have time to meditate. Yep. Well, you know what? If you stop and meditate, take the time. It's fascinating because one of the things that we know is you get much more accomplished. You get much more done when you take the time to take a break. Another thing that a lot of people don't do is they don't take the time to exercise. Now, I'm not saying you have to join a gym and go pump iron, but you do need to get some type of physical activity. It's so incredibly important from all aspects of your health, but certainly from the standpoint of being self-compassionate and learning to deal with the stresses of your life. Another really important thing is learning to say no. There are so many people, and especially people like ourselves, you know, we're hard drivers, fast burners, type A personalities. We're always doing this and doing that. And it seems like there's nothing that can stop us. And people call on people like us because we get things done. But what happens is we suffer as a result. You have got to learn to say no. You have got to learn to prioritize your life so that you can take that time to meditate. You can take that time to do a little bit of physical activity. You can take that time to spend time with loved ones. So many of us get caught up in this life and we want to be productive. We want to, you know, put our mark on the earth. We want to make sure that people remember us as being those people who help them or those people who are always there for them. We get so caught up in feeling like I've got to help, I've got to do, I've got to be. And what we neglect is ourselves. And I personally, and I've said this many times, someone said it to me just the other day, I do not want to be on my deathbed and look back with regrets. I don't want to be in my deathbed and say, I am so excited about the fact that I missed out on all those birthdays and all those baseball games so that I could write my book. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person that has been someone to someone else all through my life and not taken the time that I need to be that someone to me. And I think that learning to say no is a critically important part of being self-compassionate. There are various things that we can do. Everyone deals with it differently. Everyone deals with stress differently. I think one of the really important things to remember though is if you're struggling with stress and not dealing well with stress, it could very well be because of your diet and it could very well be because of the consumption of sugar and the impact that the consumption of refined sugar has on your mineral depletion. The other thing that we know to be true, and you know, we've heard it over and over again, you cannot out-supplement a bad diet. You can take supplements all day long, but if you're in a situation where you are eating sugar and drawing on your body's reserves, you're never going to get ahead of the game. You're always going to be behind the power curve. You're always going to be in a situation where you just can't quite get it done because you are pulling on your mineral reserves.
And I have an amazing opportunity that I am going to be offering to everybody who is listening with us. And that is a 15-minute consultation after taking a free health evaluation. I have a team set up where we are offering this free 15-minute consultation. If you go to my website, betterbytheminutelife.com, you will find the information there on where to go to get that health evaluation and then be followed up by a certified holistic health coach, possibly even myself. But most of all, sign up for my newsletter. I will be putting together a newsletter and sharing information that will also share about my guests and what you can do to be empowered. Now, Dr. Conway, we only have a minute left. Aside from sugar, there are foods that convert to sugar that have a negative impact as well. Can you give us a couple ideas of foods that we need to stay away from or limit or ignore that turned into sugar that can negatively affect our health?
Well, I think one of the things that people need to understand is when we talk about foods other than those things that we know that contain sugar, we need to remember that there are so many hidden sugars in so many foods. And that's why pre-processed and packaged foods need to be stayed away from. When we're consuming pre-packaged and processed foods, we're actually consuming foods that unfortunately are not giving us any nutritional benefit.
And so, that's what those processed foods, those things that are so convenient just to grab, add water and throw in the microwave.
Oh, please. You know, and let's not talk about microwave. When I talk about microwave, I tease about it because microwaving food is one of the most unhealthy things that you can do. It literally changes the molecular structure of the food so that the food is no longer nutrition for you. And so when we talk about microwaving food, I readily admit that I have a microwave in my home, and that microwave in my home gets used to fuse glass. And that's literally the only thing I use it for, is fusing glass.
Yeah, when it comes to a microwave, when we moved into our home 4 years ago, I would not let a microwave come through the front door for that reason.
Yep. And like I said, mine is used to fuse glass. But don't be under the misconception that just because your snack bar says non-GMO and leading you to believe that it's a healthy thing, it's not necessarily a healthy thing. And the other thing that you need to understand is high fructose corn syrup may not always be on the label. And that's because grocery manufacturers have learned that we don't want to see high fructose corn syrup. So now it might be corn solids or liquid corn or corn syrup. Just remember that any of those things are high fructose corn syrups. That's not a healthy approach. That fructose that is not a readily usable form of fructose because it is a refined sugar. And so it does all of those things that we talked about with respect to mineral depletion. The important thing here is just remember that when we start talking about prepackaged and processed foods, those are the foods that are going to get you in trouble.
And with that, Dr. Conway, we have come to the end of today's program. Thank you again so much for joining me on Better by the Minute Life with Becca. You're amazing. I look forward to future conversations as your schedule allows, because you have so much knowledge coming from both sides of the health field that needs to be shared and utilized by people around the world. Thank you, Dr. Conway.
Well, thank you so much, Becca, and I'll look forward to being here with you again.
And Dr. Conway, I know I look forward to it, and many of our listeners do as well. Everybody, I hope you are getting valuable information out of everything that is being shared on Better by the Minute Life with Becca. We appreciate you listening and want you to know you are worth the investment. Your health is the greatest asset you can have. Take some time to invest in it. Find out more information at Better by the Minute Live with Becca. Bye for now.